Text for the sermon this evening is Psalm 89, verse 52. Psalm 89, verse 52. Blessed be the Lord forevermore. Amen and amen. Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the triune God blesses us. Therefore, let us bless Him. Our Savior teaches us in Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Bless the Lord, you His angels, who excel in strength, who do His word, heeding the voice of His word. Bless the Lord, all His hosts, ministers of His who do His pleasure. Bless the Lord, all His works in all places of His dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Psalm 104 begins, bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God, you are very great. You are clothed with honor and majesty. Psalm 104 ends, bless the Lord, O my soul, praise the Lord. Scripture commands us to bless the Lord at least 30 more times just in the Psalms. Sit in your seats and keep on blessing God from the first word of the sermon to the last. And then go on blessing God until the last hour of life. And then enter into eternal glory in heaven, still blessing God. It should be our life to bless Him who gave us our life. It should be our delight to bless Him who gives us all our delights. And this is what our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, teaches us here in the last verse of Psalm 89, verse 52. Blessed be the Lord forevermore. Amen and amen. Amen means truth. Or so shall it surely and ever be. First, how can we bless God? Without doubt, the less is blessed by the greater. Can the greater be blessed by the less? Yes, but it must be in a modified or a different sense. God blesses us with every spiritual blessing, but we cannot give Him any blessings. He needs nothing from us, and if He did, we could not give it. The Lord says in Psalm 50, verse 12, if I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine and its fullness. God is all sufficient within Himself. He's never dependent upon His creatures. He never receives anything from His creatures that He needs to receive. He is infinitely blessed already. We cannot add to His blessedness. When He blesses us, He gives us a blessedness that we never had before. But when we bless Him, we cannot increase His absolutely infinite perfection, even by one iota. Our Lord Jesus Christ teaches us in Psalm 16, verse 2, my goodness is nothing apart from you. It is as if He had said, let me be as holy and as devout and as earnest as I may. I can still do nothing for you. You're too high. You're too holy. You're too great for me to be able to bless you in the sense in which you bless me. How then do we bless God? What are some ways that we can bless God as His creatures who receive everything from His hand and who depend always and completely upon Him for everything? To bless God is to express gratitude. We say with our Savior, bless the Lord, O my soul. And the Apostle Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 1, at the very beginning of his letter, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." We can bless God by praising Him, by extolling Him, by desiring all honor for Him, by ascribing all good to Him, by magnifying and lauding His holy name. Sit still and let your heart be silent before God, for no language can ever express the gratitude of our hearts to Him who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Praise Him also in your speech. Break the silence. Speak of His glory. Invite others to cry out with you, "Hallelujah," or "Hallels unto Yah." Praise to Jehovah. Ascribe greatness unto our God. Oh, that all flesh would magnify the Lord with us and exalt His name together. To bless God is to utter assent to all the blessedness ascribed to the Lord. After hearing how great He is, how glorious He is, how happy He is, we bless Him by saying, "Amen." Truth. So let it be. So we would have it. He is none too great for us, none too blessed for us. Let Him be great, glorious, and blessed beyond all that our minds can conceive. We bless God when we say, concerning the whole of His character, "Amen." For this is God, our God, forever and ever. He will be our guide even to death. He is just what the Bible says He is. We accept Him as He reveals Himself to us in the Scriptures. He is sternly just. He will not spare the guilty. Amen. Blessed be His name. He is infinitely gracious. He is ready to forgive. Amen. So let it be. He is everywhere present and always omniscient, knowing all things. Amen. That is exactly what we wish Him to be. He is everlastingly the same and unchanging in His truth, in His promises, and in His nature. We are glad of this and we bless Him for it. He is just such a God as we love. He is indeed God to us because He really is God. And we can see that He is. Every attribute ascribed to Him is a fresh proof to us that Jehovah is the Lord, the true and living God. And thus we bless Him by adoring Him. We also bless God by advancing His kingdom. We can win hearts to Him through His mighty grace, blessing our service. We can fight against evil. We can set up a standard for the truth of God. We can be willing to suffer in reputation and in every other way for His name's sake. We can do all this by His grace, and in doing this, we are blessing God. If it is well-pleasing in God's sight that sinners repent, if it makes heaven more joyful, and makes the angels of God rejoice when a sinner repents, then we are surely blessing God in the best and most practical way when we labor to bring men to repentance through faith in Jesus Christ. We also bless God when we do good to His children. When they are sick, visit them. When they are downcast, encourage them. When they are grieving, comfort them. When they are poor, relieve them. When they are hard pressed by outward adversaries, stand at their side and help them. You cannot bless the head, but you can bless the feet. And when you have refreshed the feet, you have refreshed the head. And he will say to you, Amen. Inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. If they are naked and you clothe them, if they are sick and you visit them, if they are hungry and you feed them, you bless God in doing so. You can be good to God's people, and in doing so, you bless the Lord. He has done so much for us that we would gladly do something for him. And when we have reached the limit of our possibilities, we long to do more. We wish that we had more money to give, more talent to use, more time that we could devote to his cause. We wish that we had more heart and more brain. Sometimes we wish that we had more tongue. And we sing, oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King, the triumphs of his grace. To bless the Lord is to attempt to break the narrow limits of our capacity. It is the earnest endeavor of a burning heart to lay at God's feet crowns of glory which it cannot find. Blessed be the Lord forevermore. Amen and amen. Second, who is the God that we bless? Who is the Lord that we bless with all that is in us? We bless the God of creation. What beauties he has scattered all around us. We bless the God of providence. How bountifully he sends us harvests and fruitful seasons. We bless the God of grace who has redeemed us and adopted us as his children. And here we see a unique and a special aspect of God that should call forth our highest praises, for he is the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. When we see God in connection with Christ, we see God through Christ. When we see God in Christ, then our hearts are all aflame and we burst out with the Apostle Paul in the opening of his letter to the Ephesians, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God, apart from Christ, is a great and glorious theme. But the human mind fails to grasp it. The infinite Jehovah, who can conceive him? We read in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 29, our God is a consuming fire. Who can draw near to him? But in the mediator, in the person of the God-man, in whom we find human sympathy and divine glory in one person, we can draw near to God. And then we put our hands upon the golden harp strings and resolve that every string shall be struck to the praise of God in his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. The God whom we bless is the God of our Lord Jesus Christ. When Jesus knelt in prayer, he prayed to our God. When Jesus leaned in faith, resting upon the promises, he trusted in God that he would deliver him. When our Savior sang on the night of the last Passover, he sang praise to God. When he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane with bloody sweat, he prayed to our God. Jesus said to Mary at the sepulcher, Go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father and to my God and your God. How we ought to bless God when we think that he is the God whom our Redeemer blesses. This is the God who spoke from heaven and said of the Lord Jesus Christ, "This is my well-beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." What a delightful thought. When I approach Jehovah, I approach the God of our Lord Jesus Christ. When I see his blood-stained footprints there on the ground before me, though I take my shoes off my feet, for the place is holy ground, yet surely I follow with confidence where my friend, my Savior, my husband, my head has gone before me. And I rejoice as I worship the God of our Lord Jesus Christ. The God whom he blesses is also the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is a great mystery. We shall never fully understand the high relationship between the first and second persons of the Blessed Trinity, the Father and the Son. We speak of eternal sonship, which is a term that does not convey to us any great meaning. It simply covers up our ignorance. How God is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ as God, we do not know. Perhaps to wish to gaze into this tremendous mystery were as great a folly as to look at the sun and blind ourselves with its brilliance. It is true. That ought to be enough for us. God the Father is the Father of Jesus Christ as to his divine nature. The Father says in Psalm 2, verse 7, "You are my Son, today I have begotten you." He is also his Father with respect to his human nature. Jesus was conceived in the womb of the Virgin Mary by the power of the Holy Spirit. His human body, his human life came from God, not from Joseph, not from a human father. Born of a woman, God sent forth his Son, but he was his Son. It was God's Son that was born at Bethlehem. And so the angel Gabriel said to the Virgin Mary, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God." Our Lord Jesus Christ has two distinct natures, a human nature and a divine nature, in one person forever. When you ponder that, you see how great God is, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And yet this same God is my Father. He's my Father too. Oh, what a sweet thought. My Father is Christ's Father. Jesus Christ's Father is our Father. And he teaches us all to call him our Father who is in heaven. Often in prayer, Jesus said, "Father." And he bids us say the same, putting the plural noun before it, our Father. Will you not bless the Lord, who is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ? Do you not feel a glowing in your hearts as you think of the near and dear relationship into which you are brought through Jesus Christ? The God of Jesus Christ, the Father of Jesus Christ, is my God and my Father also. Blessed be the Lord forevermore. Amen and amen. Oh, what a precious name. We bless the Lord because for all the many great mercies, we bless him for all the many great mercies that he has poured out upon us in the Lord Jesus Christ. What are some of his many great mercies to us in Jesus Christ? You will not bless God unless you have full assurance that he has poured out upon you many great mercies. When the Apostle Paul writes to the Ephesians, he does not write, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has, we hope and trust, blessed us." But rather he writes, "Who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." Ah, beloved, if you have a full assurance that God has blessed you in Christ, and that now his smile rests upon you, and all the blessings of his covenant of grace that we read about in Psalm 89 are poured out upon you in the Lord Jesus Christ, then you cannot help saying, "Blessed be the Lord forevermore. Amen and amen." That doubt, that trembling, that unbelief, that distrust empties out the marrow from the bone of our blessedness. If you have suspicions about the truth of this precious book, the Bible, if you have questions about the truth of the doctrines of God's grace in Jesus Christ, if you have doubts about your own interest in these things, it is no wonder that you do not praise God for a blessing which only might be mine. Perhaps I might be grateful for, but I might not. But if I know whom I have believed, if I have a firm grip of all the many spiritual mercies that God pours out upon me in Christ through his covenant of grace, as set forth here in Psalm 89, if all these heavenly things are most certainly mine in Christ my Lord, then I can sing with my Savior in Psalm 57, verses 7 and 8, "My heart is steadfast, O God. My heart is steadfast. I will sing and give praise. Awake, my glory. Awake, lute and harp. I will awaken the dawn. With my Savior, I can sing with confidence, blessed be the Lord forevermore. Amen and amen." With this full assurance should come intense delight. Who has blessed us? God has blessed us. Come, brothers and sisters, he has not done some trivial thing for us, which we can ignore. He has not merely given us some absolutely necessary blessings which we must have, for we could not live without them. But he has, in his rich grace, dealt even more abundantly with us. He has gone above and beyond all that we could ask or think, and he has made us a wedding feast with his own beloved Son and with the saints and with princes, and he has given us more than honorable garments. He has put upon us robes of beauty and of glory, even his own spotless righteousness. He has blessed us. We are blessed. We feel that we are blessed. We're not sitting here groaning and crying, fretting and worrying, and questioning our own salvation. He has blessed us. and therefore we will bless him. If you think little of what God has done for you, you will do very little for him. But if you have a great grasp of his many great mercies to you, you will be blessing and praising and glorifying your great and glorious and gracious God and Father, and Jesus Christ, his Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God in three persons. Just as assurance and delight lead to blessing God, so does a right understanding of his mercies. We are grateful to God for temporal blessings, but we are much more grateful to God for spiritual blessings. Temporal blessings do not last long. They are soon gone. Temporal blessings are not definite marks of God's favor, since God gives them to the unworthy and to the wicked as well as to the righteous. The corn and the wine and the oil are for the rich man. Lazarus gets even less than his share in this life. We bless God for all the temporal blessings, and we thank him. They are more than we deserve. But our thanks ought to go to God in thunders of hallelujahs for spiritual blessings. A new heart is better than a new coat. To feed on the Lord Jesus Christ is better than to have the best earthly food and feast. To be an heir of God is better than being the heir of the greatest and richest man on earth. To have God for our portion is infinitely more blessed than to have many acres of land on earth. God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. These are the rarest, the richest, the most enduring of all blessings. They are priceless in value. Therefore, let me beg you to join in blessing the Lord forevermore. We bless the Lord because he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. There's not one spiritual blessing which God did not give us. Not one that he has withheld. We have never earned even one of them. We can never create even one of them. All spiritual blessings come from the Father. He has really given us all spiritual blessings in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you say, I've not received them, that is your own fault. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ: a new heart, a tender conscience, a submissive will, faith, hope, love, patience. We have all these in Christ. In Christ, we also have regeneration. We have justification. We have adoption. We have sanctification. We have perfection and glorification. If we do not lay hold of them, it is the fault of our palsied hands that does not have enough strength to grasp them. But he has given us every spiritual blessing in Christ. Whenever you read your Bible and you see a great promise, do not hesitate to believe it, to lay hold of it, to rest upon it. The Lord has given us every spiritual blessing in Christ. If you think I'm afraid that I would be presuming if I took some of his promises, if I believed them, if I trusted in them, if I prayed for them, remember, he's given us every spiritual blessing in Christ. And you are in your Father's house. You cannot steal, for your Father says, help yourself to whatever you like. The Apostle Paul writes in Romans 8, verse 17, we're heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, at the very end of that chapter, all things are yours, and you are Christ's, and Christ is God's. And Peter writes in his first letter, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, "The Lord has begotten us again to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God, ready to be through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last day." The Lord has turned over his whole estate of spiritual wealth to every believing child of his. Therefore, take freely, and you will, by doing so, glorify God. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ. He is sending us all these spiritual blessings to bring us to the heaven where he dwells and where he would have us to dwell with him forever. I want to stir up your heart this evening by reminding you that all the spiritual blessings we receive are even richer and rarer because they are given to us in Christ. Christ himself is the substance of every spiritual blessing. Christ himself is the charter of our eternal liberty. The Lord has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ. If they came to us in any other way, we might lose them. We might not be sure that they were genuine. But when they come to us in Christ, they come to stay. And we know that they are real. If Christ is mine, every blessing, all blessings in the heavenly places are mine. The Lord has done such great things for you. Bless him with all of your soul and with all of your breath and with all of your being. Blessed be the Lord forevermore. Blessed be his holy name forevermore. It is all true. He has blessed me. I know that he has. He has blessed me with a liberal hand with every spiritual blessing. He has blessed me just where I needed blessing, where I was poorest in spiritual things. I could not make my own way in grace, so he has blessed me with every spiritual blessing, and he has made the garments all the dearer because of the one in whom he gives me these white, clean linen wedding garments. He has given me these royal things in Christ. And as I look to my dear Lord and see what is stored up in him for me, I prize each thing all the more because it is in Christ himself and it is in Christ alone. Come, Holy Spirit of God, and set our hearts on fire with blessing and praise to the Lord forevermore for all the great things that he has done for us. And finally, how does God in Christ give us these blessings and gifts for which we bless the Lord forevermore? The Lord tells us in his word that he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Brothers and sisters, we bless the Lord because he gives us every spiritual blessing in Christ, not because we are worthy or we are good or we are deserving, but because he chose us in Christ his Son. Why did he choose us in Christ his Son? He did not choose us because we were good or because we were better than others, but because of his free and sovereign grace. He loved us because he decided in eternity past to set his love upon us. He chose us because he chose us. He chose us for reasons in himself. Jesus said, "You have not chosen me, but I've chosen you." If there's any virtue, if there's any praise in us now, the Lord put it there. We must trace the election of his grace to the bottomless abyss of his own infinite goodness. Every blessing comes to us in the same way. God has not blessed you, brothers and sisters, with usefulness because you deserved it, but because of his grace. He did not redeem you or regenerate you or justify you or sanctify you or uphold you because of anything in you. Again and again, by the prophet Ezekiel, the Lord reminded his people Israel that the blessings that he bestowed upon them were all gifts of his grace. For example, we read in Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 22, "Therefore say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, I do not do this for your sake, O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake." Ezekiel says a little later in that chapter in verse 32, "Not for your sake do I do this, says the Lord God. Let it be known to you. Be ashamed and confounded for your own ways, O house of Israel." Every blessing comes to us with the hallmark of sovereign grace upon it. As the Lord distributed the gifts of his grace, he said, "May I not do as I will with my own?" He does so, and we bless him, and we praise him, and we adore the sovereign grace of God, which, having chosen us, continues to bless us just as he chose us in Christ. We bless the Lord that all his gifts come to us in Christ. God has chosen us in Christ. God has called us in Christ. God has justified us in Christ. God sanctifies us in Christ. God will perfect us in Christ. He will glorify us in Christ. We have everything in Christ. And we have nothing apart from Christ. Let us praise and bless the name of the Lord, that this sacred channel of his grace is as glorious as the grace itself. There is as much grace in the gift of Christ to save us as there is in the salvation which Christ has worked out for us. Blessed be the Lord forevermore. Amen and amen. Every blessing comes to us by God's purpose. No spiritual blessing comes to any man by chance. No man gets a blessing from God through good luck. It all comes according to the eternal purpose of God, which he purposed before the earth was created. Before the foundation of the world, there was a purpose in the heart of God, and in that purpose we were chosen, and by that same purpose God continues to bless us. Look, beloved, God never gives his people either a gift or a grace without his purpose. Has God given you a clear mind that is quick and able? Think for him. Has God given you a tongue that can speak fluently and eloquently, persuasively and powerfully, lovingly and winsomely? Speak for him. He does not give you these gifts without purpose. Has God given you influence among your fellow men? Use it for him. Your election came according to his purpose, and so have all your gifts, and much more, so have all your graces. Do you have a strong, buoyant faith? Do you have burning zeal? Do you have vehement love? Do you have any of these gifts of the covenant of God's grace? Use them for God's purpose. Use them for God's glory. God has given them for a purpose. Find out what that purpose is and glorify God in using it for that purpose. God did not choose us to be saved in Christ because we were holy, but in order to make us holy. And God's purpose will not be fulfilled unless we are made holy. Some people, when they talk about salvation, mean escaping from hell. and getting into heaven by the skin of their teeth. God never means any such thing. God's salvation means deliverance from evil, deliverance from sin. I often wonder why some people grumble because God has chosen to deliver others from sin when they themselves do not want to be delivered from sin. Like a dog in a hay manger. They cannot eat the hay themselves, and so they growl at those who can. If you wish to be safe from sin, ask God for that great blessing, and He will give it to you. But if you do not want it, do not complain if God says, I shall give it to this person and to that person. And those who do not even ask for it shall be left without it. If you do not care to be holy, you shall not be holy. If you did care to be holy and you wish to be holy, you might have holiness. For God does not deny it to any who ask Him for it. But if you neither wish for it nor value it, why do you lift your puny fist against the God of heaven because He has chosen others that they should be holy and without blame before Him in love? The object, the objective of our election is our holiness. And the object of every spiritual blessing is our holiness. God is aiming at making us holy. Are you not glad of that? Blessed be the Lord, because His aim in every gift and in every grace is to make us holy as He is holy. Brothers and sisters, will we not sacrifice everything we have and count it no sacrifice if we might be perfectly holy as He is holy? Surely the God who makes us long to be perfect has already worked a great work in us. And if we can say that to be perfect would be heaven to us, then we are already on the road to heaven. And God is working out in us His eternal purpose, which is that we should be holy. God has chosen us to be loving. He has ordained us to be loving. And all the innumerable blessings which He has given us in Christ, He sends to win us to a loving spirit. Love your fellow Christians. Love poor sinners to Christ. Love those who despitefully use you. Love those around you who are strangers to the love of God. It may be that they will see your love in some little image. They will see in your love some little image of the love of God. Just as in a drop of water, sometimes you see the sun and the heavens reflected. God makes us to be reflections of His love, the love of God. His purpose is that we may be holy and without blame before Him in love. This evening I've set before you a rare treasury. Does this treasury belong to you? Is Christ yours? Are you trusting in Him? If not, nothing is yours. Without Christ, you can do nothing, and you are nothing, and you have nothing. Come to Jesus as you are. And put your trust in Him, and then all things are yours. If Christ is yours, beloved, then I charge you, bless the Lord. Yes, bless the Lord again and again and again. Bless the Lord forevermore, for you will never bless Him as much as He deserves to be blessed. Amen and amen. Our Heavenly Father, we bless You. We bless You tonight. We bless You because You are great and glorious. You are our God. You are our Father. You've given us every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in your Son, Christ Jesus, our Lord. You have chosen us in Him from before the foundation of the world that we should be yours, that we should be holy, that we should be love and loving as you are. And Father, as we ponder your goodness and your mercies and your blessings to us through all the years of our lives, through all the moments and hours of each day, we are overwhelmed. We do not even know where to begin. And so we can only bless you forever and ever and ever, forevermore. Amen and amen. And we thank you, Father, that you've given us such a rich and abundant treasury. We thank you that your covenant of grace is so rich, and that Christ has been given all things, all gifts, and he is giving those gifts to his people. And so, Father, may we rejoice in everything that we receive from your hand, both for this life and for the life that is to come. And may we grow in blessing you. And Father, we pray for those who are outside of Christ, who have nothing, who are nothing. We pray, Father, that they may realize their lost condition, that they may realize their poverty, that they may realize their misery, that they may recognize the judgment that hangs over their head. And Father, we pray that they may cry out to you for that blessing that is only in Christ, the blessing of life forevermore, and that instead of blaspheming your name and railing against you or ignoring you and disregarding you and dishonoring you and not giving you to you the worship and glory and honor that you are worthy to receive, we pray, O God, by your grace and through the power of your Holy Spirit, that you will bring them to love and worship you, to bow down before you, and to lay hold of Christ in true faith and repentance unto life. Lord, grant us these things, we pray, in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen.